This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
Archbishop Desmond Tutu will challenge Tony Blair and George Bush today to apologize for their pursuit of a counterproductive and immoral war in Iraq. In a scathing analysis of the backdrop to the invasion, he will ridicule the dangerously flawed intelligence that Britain and the U.S. used to justify military action, which has made the world a great deal less safe. The intervention of the Nobel Peace Prize winner in the controversy over Iraq follows a series of deadly terrorist attacks in the country over the past week, including an armed raid on a police station on Saturday in which 22 people died. The electronic voting system designed for the forthcoming American election is fundamentally flawed and could undermine the trustworthiness of the entire U.S. democratic process, a scientist has told the annual meeting of the American Association for the Advancement of Science. Paper ballots can be scrutinized to ensure they have not been misread or tampered with, but electronic votes recorded only as computer code cannot be checked to see the true intention of the voter, said David Dill, a professor of computer science at Stanford University in California. The system is in crisis. A quarter of the American public are voting on machines where there's very little protection of their votes. I don't think there's any reason to trust these machines, he said. Generous constitutional freedoms, weak law enforcement, and lightly patrolled borders have made Canada an inviting place for dangerous extremists or terrorists to set up shop, says a new report by the Library of Congress in Washington. The report, titled Nations Hospitable to Organized Crime and Terrorism, was completed in October by the Congressional Library's Federal Research Division under an arrangement with the Central Intelligence Crime and Narcotics Center. The report notes the recent cooperation between Canadian and U.S. officials in fighting terrorism. It also acknowledges Canadian steps to toughen anti-terrorism and immigration laws, but cast doubt on whether they go far enough, saying Canada's liberal democratic identity may limit adoption of sterner measures. More after this.
It won't happen to me.
There are 1 billion teenagers in the world today. That's 1 in 6 people. What if they don't know how or can't protect themselves against AIDS or unintended pregnancy? Help ensure people have access to the tools they need to build a healthy future. Visit www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
It happened to me.
Looking cheerful and dressed in a dark gray business suit with a salmon-colored tie instead of his trademark uniform, Cuban leader Fidel Castro used humor to defend himself from U.S. hostility, ridiculing George W. Bush for his gaffes. Bush could not debate a Cuban ninth grader who knows more than he does, Castro said in a speech to an audience of 1,400 economists who were in stitches when he read some of Bush's more insipid statements. Castro quoted Bush as saying, "I will have a foreign-handed foreign policy. I know how hard it is for you to put food on your family. More and more of our imports come from overseas, and the most important job is not to be governor or first lady in my case." For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
If you've got an old wreck of a car with a busted engine, you can put the shiniest coat of paint that there is on it, but that old wreck still won't take you anywhere. This reality seems to have escaped the Bushites, who keep slapping shiny new paint on their old wreck of an economic policy. The latest comes in response to the growing crisis of job losses in American manufacturing. In George W.'s 3-year tenure, nearly 3 million manufacturing jobs have been lost. These are usually the best-paying jobs in town, and when they go, so do local businesses that count on those workers to be customers, and soon the town's whole middle-class future dries up. This year, even though stock prices, corporate profits, and CEO pay are on the rise, American factories continue to shed jobs, and the wages of most workers are either stagnant or falling. So the Bushites painting crew has rushed right out with a bright new color they call a comprehensive strategy to address the challenges to U.S. manufacturers. It offers nothing but the same old corporate giveaways that this crew always put forward. More tax breaks, less environmental protections, more nuclear power, and more limits on the ability of consumers and workers to sue corporations for wrongdoing. To add sparkle to this coat of paint, the Bushites also call for a new President's Manufacturing Council to, get this, give corporate leaders more say in government. More say? These guys already own the White House, most of Congress, and the judiciary. They need more say like Rush Limbaugh needs another dose of painkillers. The Bushites' latest paint job was revealed at a media event staged in an Ohio factory. But even as Commerce Secretary Don Evans was laying it on thick, executives at a factory in neighboring Michigan were saying adios to their 2,700 workers, notifying them that their factory was being moved to Mexico. This is Jim Hightower saying, to get America moving, we don't need new paint. We need a new engine.
What do you think I like about communing with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? Yeah. You're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Well, good evening, Truth Seekers. Tonight is a rebroadcast. The program you are hearing was first broadcast January 20th. Just kidding! Just kidding. First of all, I'd like to welcome a lot of flying monkeys who are going to be listening, lurking around the program today on the website, you right-wing freaks, who are here courtesy of Hugh Hewitt, some Christian network freak that I spent a few minutes with on Saturday night mentioning my website. So to the right-wingers who are tuned in to find out what this program is like live, hi, welcome to the show. Boo! Don't dare call in. Because I will, reach down your throats, grab hold of your ass, and pull you inside out. Figuratively speaking, of course. Feel free to lurk in the shadows. That's where you right-wingers belong. And I might add, this radio program is about to become a very important, not-to-be-missed 3 hours of your day. So stick around. This will fry your brain. Make your head... These right-wingers that listen to this program, Kathy, if they stick around, their heads will explode. They'll just blow. You know what I... You know, well, okay. And yes, we have some sound from the Valentine's Day massacre on Fox News Channel, so to speak. We'll have that for you momentarily. What an experience that was. But before we get to that, bad news for, I don't know, either fundamentalists, Christian fundamentalists or scientists, one of the two. But here we go again. A team of astrophysicists said yesterday they have detected a tiny galaxy that is the farthest known object from Earth. No kidding now. No punchline here. The Caltech astronomer Richard Ellis said, "We are confident it is the most distant known object. It lies roughly 13 billion light years from Earth." Now, the team uncovered this galaxy using two of the most powerful telescopes, one in space, the other in Hawaii, aided by natural magnification provided by a massive cluster of galaxies. The discovery was announced during the annual meeting of the American Association for the Advancement of Science in Seattle. And details of this discovery is going to appear in the Astrophysical Journal. But can you imagine now, if it's true that 70% of Americans believe in the talking snake theory of creation found in the book of Genesis, if that's true, then 70% of the American public is dealing itself out of this astonishing scientific find. I don't quite get it. I just wish the creationists, any time they find out they have cancer or some sort of cellular disease, that they'll just forego treatment and just go pray and ask God to heal them, because the science they will turn to is based on the principles that are extant in the theory of a natural selection and evolution and mutation and in order to believe in the talking snake theory of creation, you have to reject all science. But isn't it funny how with the exception of a few like Christian Scientists, who I've never been able to understand, most religious fundamentalists, Christian religious fundamentalists, when they find out they're having a problem, they turn to medical science, which is based on the applied sciences of biology, anatomy, evolution, chemistry, physiology, physics. Oh, never mind. What if at any point during the program somebody wants to provide me and this audience an explanation of what the hell has happened to the Howard Dean campaign? It's astonishing. Is it all the fault of media for taking such horrendous swipes at the guy I planned on backing, if my guy, Kucinich, didn't make it? What the hell has happened? And now his campaign manager says, well, I'm out of here. I'm going to go work for John Kerry. Wow. For those Fox bastards that had the nerve to even bring up anything about the dirty tricks of the right-wingers, I offer two examples very quickly. That photograph of John Kerry and Jane Fonda standing at a podium, not the one where he's sitting a few rows behind, but where they're standing at the same podium, this photograph that started circulating just like, I don't know, like a floater in a toilet, which is usually what the Republicans come up with, started circulating this weekend. Well, it turns out it's a lie. It's an absolute lie. There was a guy named Ken Light, 20 years old at the time, documenting the country's struggle over the Vietnam War. He shot the picture of John Kerry at a peace rally in Mineola, New York. The photograph showed Kerry alone at the podium, squinting into the sun. The photograph did not include Jane Fonda. Oh, God. Have I mentioned tonight how much these people make me want to vomit blood? God, I hate them. God, I hate them. I hate them with a depth that transcends human understanding. That's how deep the hatred are. You know, anything linked to Jane Fonda, there's still a clutch of people in this country who just, I don't know, if they're male, their penises all go very limp whenever they hear the name Jane Fonda. If they are female, they get crazed and their eyes turn red because they think of Barbarella. I don't know. Is there another name that is more antagonistic to a whole generation of a certain segment of the U.S. male population than the name Jane Fonda? If there is, I don't know who it could possibly be. But the right wingers know. All they have to do is link anybody. Link John Kerry. Link Max Cleland. Link Jesus. Link anybody with Jane Fonda, and there will be a knee jerk, tongue dropping, pants falling reaction from the right. Oh, Jane Fonda! Well, damn! Right? So the right wingers, doctored up this photograph, started emailing it like crazy about four days ago. Now, the photographer, who now heads the graduate photojournalism program at the University of California, Berkeley, said, quote, I'm horrified. He says, I think this kind of alteration is probably one of the scariest forms of trickery, particularly when it's done against a political candidate, end quote. A spokesman for Kerry's campaign said, quote, the smear tactics have started already. Well, yeah, they have. But this is so much like 1984, the book, the movie. The erasing of people, the adding of people, the changing of things, and then these photographs go out via the internet to the terminally stupid, the total dumbasses that make up the rank and file of the Republican Party, and they see this and they go, hey, Ethel, come here and look at this. Damn, here's John Kerry and that bitch whore Jane Fonda. Here, look here. God. Now, Kerry was there. Fonda wasn't. It was June 13th, 1971. Thousands gathered for what was called the largest anti-war demonstration ever held on Long Island. That was according to Newsday newspaper the next day. Now, Mr. Light, who was a student in Ohio at the time, 20-year-old student, he took the picture of Kerry, but he never published it. And it sat in his files until 2 weeks ago when he shipped it to his agent, Corbis Photographs, which placed it, a picture of John Kerry. What the hell? He's a president. Placed it in their online archives. And that's how someone apparently found it, tried to capitalize on the attention that was stirred up by that authentic photo of Kerry and sitting four rows behind Fonda at a Vietnam-era rally. And posted this early this month at a website called Vietnam Veterans Against JohnKerry.com. Jesus, I bet you not one of the sneaky, slimy bastards is a Vietnam veteran. What do you want to bet? They might be Vietnam-era veterans like George Bush, but they're not going to be real combat veterans. They're just slime balls, slime balls. The website's creator is some punk named Ted Sampley, who claims to be a Vietnam veteran from North Carolina. He said he received the doctored photo from a woman in Richmond, Virginia. There was a note from the woman at Senate, Lori Siemek, S-I-E-M-E-K, with an attachment called HanoiJohn.jpg, a takeoff on Hanoi Jane. The note said, thought you might want to include this pic on your site. Now, Sampley, the fake veteran from North Carolina, said, well, I looked at it, and you know what? It didn't feel right. It just looked too good. It just looked too good. Now, the woman who sent it to him, who somehow got the photograph, said she found a picture on a conservative internet message board and had no idea it was phony. That's so typical of these Republicans, right? They're stupid. They'll buy anything. They'll absorb anything that fits into their hate-filled mindset, their ignorant mindset, right? So I didn't know. Then she said, this thing has spiraled out of control. If I had any thought the photo was not real, I never would have forwarded it to the veterans group. Please don't anybody contact me by email. Don't phone me. Don't do anything, please. I'm just a psychopathic Republican. Her name is Lori, L-O-R-E-E, Siemek, or Siemek, S-I-E-M-E-K, and she lives in Richmond. This is all according to what newspaper is this from? Jerry in Sparks, Nevada, sent this to me. I'm not sure what newspaper this is. Newsday. I guess it's from, Newsday. Newsday newspaper. And those slimy bastards sat there in the first minute or two on that program on Fox News Channel with me on Saturday night saying, well, Mike, are you Democrats going to start the crap, huh, Mike? Now, that's number one on Kerry. Number two is a story we ignored last week. I'll cover it with you when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Personal responsibility for everything I say, of course. Absolutely.
Can you wag? Can you wag?
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Bruce Willis was in Iraq. Did you hear about this? He went to Telfar, I believe is the way you pronounce it. He has a band, Accelerator, played some rock and roll, and, you know, there were hundreds of U.S. soldiers there. Anyway, after he did his rock and roll, he took the microphone. He said, we're here to support you, and that's fine. Okay. But then he offered the soldiers listening $1 million out of his own pocket for the capture of Saddam Hussein. And then he said, and if you catch him, just give me 4 seconds with him. Isn't he just a man's man, huh?
Who are you, then? Just another American who thinks he's John Wayne, Rambo.
He's always kind of partial to Roy Rogers, actually.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Radio right from the left. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. By the way, we only have 9 shows left after tonight. So to the right-wing lurkers who are all intrigued with this program, that'll be good news for you. Of course, we will show up someplace other than this program. The other rumor that was circulating by these right-wing murderers who comprise the Republican Party was the one linking Senator Kerry and a woman Now, the woman's name is Alexandra Pollier or Pollier. P-O-L-I-E-R. I'll say Pollier. I don't know what it is. Alexandra Pollier. This started out last week on this filthy little piglet, Max Drudge's website. And, of course, the usual vermin like Sean, Baby Jesus Hannity, and Rush, the Pigman Limbaugh, they all pick it up and run with it. It says here, the Associated Press is reporting this, breaking her silence 4 days after the allegations surfaced on the Internet. Alexandra Pollier issued a statement to the AP saying, quote, "I've never had a relationship with Senator Kerry, and the rumors in the press are completely false." End quote. Kerry had already denied it. On Monday, his campaign said he would have no further comments. This woman is a freelance journalist, 27 years old. She was in Nairobi, Kenya, when she made the statement, visiting the parents of her fiancé, Yaron Schwartzman, an Israeli who was raised in Kenya. She previously worked as an editorial assistant for the AP in New York. She's never been one of Kerry's interns. She's never had an affair with Kerry. See, this is why I think people like Max Drudge, or Matt Drudge, what's his name, Matt Drudge? Matt Drudge should have his head pinched off and tossed into hell so the demons can play soccer ball with it. These people, these right-wingers, are so vile and so disgusting and so filthy. Just every single one of them, every single Republican. Now, I'm sorry. I piss off a lot of people when I say all Republicans are this way, because maybe your mama's still a Republican or your grandmammy or somebody, and they don't know what they're backing. So I do apologize, but anybody, apologize if your feelings are hurt. I don't apologize for the statement. Anyone who is a Republican politician, who supports Republicans, who votes for Republicans, you all are supporting killers, liars, thieves, sneaks, rapists, racist thugs. And damn you for doing it. And you are equally responsible. At some point, you people who support Republicans, your mother's all told you, you're known by the company you keep. I know your mothers, your grandmothers, or somebody told you that. You're known by the company you keep. Your grandparents also probably said, lie down with dogs, get up with fleas, all kinds of these old hard sayings that they knew about. And if you continue to insist to ignore them, you are as corrupt as they are. So if you vote Republican, you are a Republican. I don't care if you think you're a liberal Republican. If you think you're a Republican that doesn't like Bush, I say bat snot. You are supporting murderous, lying bastards who are trying to turn this country, and succeeding at it, by the way, into a fascist state. So if your mama or your grandmama or your daddy or your auntie or your uncle still believes they are Republican, you better save them, because if you don't, they're going to burn in some kind of political hell. They are the ones who support the party that supports the freaks that starts these rumors, like John Kerry's, that supposedly he had an affair. Ms. Pollier said, "Whoever is spreading these rumors and allegations does not know me." When asked why it took her 4 days to deny it, she said, since it's not true, I just figured that it would die. I just figured it'd die. Kerry told reporters Friday, "I just deny it categorically. It's rumor, it's untrue, and that's the last I intend to respond to it." But Pollier, in her innocence, said, "Because these stories were false, I assumed the media would ignore them." So, two stories about Kerry, which kind of proves the chicanery and ugliness of the Republicans, and I'll have a first-hand example for you coming back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
In the starched white shed, you will find the bigger piggies stirring up the dirt. Always have clean sheds to
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here. Now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com. The world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Weather-related disasters are a growing drain on the global economy. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Last year, floods, windstorms, heat waves, and other natural disasters caused $60 billion worth of damage around the world. Researchers who study weather-related disasters say the price tag has risen sharply in recent decades, and the trend is likely to continue. Thomas Loster works for the Munich Reinsurance Company in Germany, and he heads a UN commission that studies the costs of climate change and related disasters. Loster says the most expensive weather-related damage last year occurred in Europe, where a severe heat wave wilted crops and killed more than 20,000 people. In addition, China suffered heavy flooding, and the United States was hit hard by tornadoes in the Midwest. Loster says 2003 was one of the worst years in history in terms of weather-related damage. He says that rising expense is part of a long-term trend.
If we look at weather-related losses on the long run, comparing decades, we find tremendous increases in losses.
Loster says the economic costs of natural disasters were six times greater in the 1990s than they were in the 1960s. Loster says one reason for the increase in damage has to do with the weather itself. He says some extreme weather events, like the so-called 100-year floods and storms, are growing more frequent.
Every person can read that there is a 100-year event around the corner, and this tells us that they are no longer 100-year events, but the period has shortened.
Loster says the main reason for the increase in weather-related damage has to do with people. More and more people now live in disaster-prone places, and that means there's more high-value property that's now at risk. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
27 past the hour. One clarification. I did not walk off the set unprovoked at Fox News Channel, their studio here in Atlanta. What happened was John Kasich made his crappy-ass little insulting remark to me, and then the producers in New York immediately cut my mic. Because they knew they were afraid that I might react. I might say F you, Kasich, on their air or something weird. So they immediately cut my mic as soon as Kasich made his snotty-ass remark. And what a stone-cold amateur that guy is. Oh, my God. And once they cut my mic, once I realized it was cut, I've worked in television. I've worked in television at CNN altogether about 4 years. And I will tell you, when you have somebody on set and the producer or the executive producer says cut their mic, that person is finished. I don't care who it is. They are not going to turn it back on because that person understands what has just happened to them and they get pissed off. Now, I was amused. These thugs didn't piss me off. John Kasich and this little dweeb, Hugh Hewitt, both of them looked. Well, it was Hugh Hewitt an albino? These. What is it about these pasty white men who make up the ruling junta of the Republican Party? I have never seen a group like this. Everyone, they all look like they're cut out of the same mold, don't they? Jesus. But anyway, I just wanted to let you know, I know a lot of people, I got some emails from supporters who said, you know, you shouldn't have walked off, you should have stayed. Once they cut your mic, you're finished. And the way it was done, you know, first the insult, this remark by this Kasich that, you know, I don't do real radio because, I don't know, because I'm not qualified or capable or whatever. That's why I do satellite radio. In the first place, they had me listed first as being an employee of Sirius Satellite Radio. I love the folks at Sirius Satellite for carrying this program, but I'm not their employee. They happen to carry the program. It's also carried on the Internet, as you all know. It's also broadcast by radio stations. But Kasich, like so many Republicans in their swinish ignorance and their refusal to be able to handle the truth. I sat on that set and hit both of those pasty-faced white men with nothing but truth. And it was a joke. It was a damn joke to me. There were a couple of times that I laughed over Hugh Hewitt's comments because they were just... At one point when he's talking about Bush being a fighter pilot, I thought he was doing for Bush what Monica did for Bill. It was just almost obscene. You know, I said to Kathy, who was in the remote studio with me, quick, hand me a handful of Kleenex. This guy's going to get some of this all over me. I couldn't believe it. It was awful. Jesus. All right, we're going to play some sound bites for you. In this first one, Kasich and the other freak, Hugh Hewitt, just discussed how nasty the Democrats got with their attack on Bush's military record. Matter of fact, this is a statement where Hewitt calls Terry McAuliffe the Manchurian chairman. Isn't that cute? Then attacked Kerry for appearing in a photo with Jane Fonda calling him an anti-war radical. Kasich turns the question then to me.
Okay, Mike, what's your take? Gutter politics for 8 months? I mean, I'm not sure I can stand it.
No, I don't think I can either, John, frankly, but I think Hugh pretty much just fired the first shot. As far as John Kerry starting his political career, what did you say, Hugh, with gutter politics? Come on, the guy's a war hero. He's not a coward like George Bush. He didn't duck into a champagne unit in the Texas Air National Guard and then disappear like George Bush. So, yeah, John, I think it's going to get rough. The Republicans have already started it.
No.
Now, they hate this. You see? This is why I have no respect. None. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I really apologize for this. I have no respect for liberals who are in media who try to see both sides. I'm sorry. I don't. I have no respect for liberals who want to tread down the center. I'm sorry. I don't. I have no respect for liberals who adopted a mindset of get along, go along. I'm sorry. I don't. And you know why? Because these murderous sons of bitches will not allow open, normal, natural discussion. Now, liberals who tried and tried and tried to approach these people halfway, whether it was Al Gore or people in radio or some whore like Alan Combs, all of these liberals who have tried to approach this issue with some kind of, oh, may I have another one, sir, when they have been busted by these right-wing thugs. You people, you liberals, are making it difficult because you're not fighting back. I will not do that. Okay? I believe what Jim Hightower said a long time ago, the only thing you find in the middle of the road are yellow lines and dead armadillos. And I'll be a son of a bitch if I'm going to be considered a dead armadillo. I will fight these thugs and punks until they turn off my mic. Or until the network I'm working for goes out of business. Whatever it is. Now, Kasich, still talking the Kerry Fonda photo, so I respond.
The Republicans are saying, well, you know, Kerry was tied into to Jane Fonda, and now the Democrats are saying, you know, Bush is AWOL. I mean, come on, man. I mean,
look, I have seen the photograph of Jane Fonda and John Kerry. I'd like to see a photograph of George W. Bush showing up for his duty in Alabama. The photograph that really has gotten to me, though, is the photograph of Donald Rumsfeld and Saddam Hussein right after they made the deal on chemical weapons of mass destruction.
Mike, look, Mike, don't say that. Oh, Jesus, Mike, don't say that. Oh, Mike! Here, John, clamp down on this for a while I, you know, hit you with some more truth. Picking up immediately where the last clip ended, with Bush's AWL charge, Kasich wants to know why Democrats just won't leave it alone.
30 years ago, and the president has pay records and a whole host of other things. I mean,
no, that doesn't mean anything.
Spending time on this.
That doesn't mean anything. If George Bush can produce one shred of evidence, how about his daily sign-in sheets, where when you show up to serve your time in the National Guard, there's a record kept daily. What they released at 6:30 last night was 400 pages of gibberish. All George Bush has to do is come clean, and I don't think he can.
Oh, they hate this. See, they hate it. Now, this albino, Hugh Hewitt, chimes in about Bush's stellar service as a jet fighter pilot, protecting Central Texas from invading communists or something. Listen to this. And again, now if you listen, you'll understand why I said to Kathy, off mic, I said, Kathy, quick, hand me some Kleenex. This guy's getting it all over me.
George W. Bush was a hell of a fighter jet pilot. He was ranked quite extraordinarily competent. And I think what the Democrats have done here is invited to be placed on the center of the table a very important fact. Fighter jet pilots, I've known a couple, I'll bet you have as well, are extraordinarily competent young men. They're trusted with huge machines. They make life and death decisions on a moment's notice. And it is to the president's great benefit that this part of his life is coming forward. The lies that have been out there for a week, in which Mike has repeated. By the way, Mike, I saw on your website you referred to the Bush criminal family, if we want to talk
no,
about
no, that. No, the Bush crime family. Bush crime family. Right,
so
exactly.
So I think what we're...
I hate it when people misquote me, you know. You little albino bastard. It wasn't Bush criminal family. It's a Bush crime family. Now, we didn't have enough time. They were starting to get the whole Fox. I thought the whole Fox News Network was going to collapse because of what was going on that program. But had we not been cut off in the next segment, I was going to come back to albino boy there and explain to him why I used the term Bush crime family, starting with Prescott Bush and his support of the Nazi war machine in the lead up to World War II. But these Republicans, not only are they cowardly, not only are they sneaks, not only are they so willing to see other people die, they can't handle the truth. Not on Fox News Network, not on the radio, not on the street, and not in hell where they're all going to wind up. Now, Kasich jumps back into the fight. He attacks me for my website content. And starts talking over me. I hate this, but you'll hear it. I get apparently too close to the truth about how the Republicans invented gutter politics and smears. Kasich doesn't want to hear that. And just unbelievably, John Kasich, who rode into Congress on Newt Gingrich's coattails, who took the Newt Gingrich playbook word for word, this lying bastard John Kasich denies it.
Look, you know, I'm hearing you guys going back and forth. Now, you got a website talking about the Bush crime family. When does this end?
It ends.
This nastiness end.
Well,
I used to be in Congress. It was nasty. I was there. I didn't hate the other
John,
side. Why
John,
are we hating everybody here?
John, I remember when you were in Congress. I remember Newt Gingrich's Congress. I remember the ugliness that came out of the Republican Party. You know, for the Republicans to fall back now and say, things are getting nasty. You folks invented it. Newt Gingrich had his word list, his phrase list. Listen to your other guests talking about John Kerry as if the man hadn't served his country, both in the military and in the political arena.
Now here, Kasich actually denies knowledge of Newt's word list. It's amazing. I don't know, we're all supposed to sit back and go, oh yeah, well you're right, John, Limbaugh the pig man and Hannity the baby Jesus and all of these bastards have never attacked a Democrat unfairly or made up lies about Democrats.
Well, Mike, I'm not sure exactly what you're referring to about Newt, but here's what I do know. When I was there. No, I know this. I know that we.
You never heard
we
of Newt Gingrich's word list?
Hold on a second. Let me just tell you. You talk about Newt or the Republicans being nasty. The last time I checked, we were accused of throwing Grandma out in the street and doing all kinds of nasty things. And you know what?
Well,
the fact is, we didn't. So I don't know where you're coming from on that.
Well,
frankly, now you're playing on my part of the field.
Oh, playing happening on your part of the field? Well, in the next soundbite, this fake incredulity impresses me about as much as a fart in the wind about why Democrats are angry and seem full of hate. Kasich just can't handle the truth.
Where I'm coming from, John, take a look at 3 million lost jobs. Take a look at the lie put out there by the Bush crime family where it concerns a Medicare prescription drug benefit. Take a look at the lies about the so-called tax cut. You don't know where the American public is? John, you've been out of politics too long.
No, but what I'm going to say to you is I get nothing but vitriol coming out of you. I'm really sort of
surprised
by this.
No, you get truth. No, sorry, John.
Does this appeal to people?
Sorry,
okay,
John.
Well,
you're not getting vitriol. You're getting truth. See, this is what the right does. When somebody speaks
the truth,
it's labeled vitriol.
Let me just tell you.
Yeah, it's my TV program anyway. Now it gets really nasty, and this is where Kasich cuts off the mic.
One thing I learned in politics is you don't question people's character, call them liars, say they're criminals.
Unless they lie.
Well, that's everything your opinion. That's your opinion.
Well, no, it's not. It's not my opinion.
Yeah, it is your opinion. When you call the Bush family criminals and you start calling people liars.
You know what I'd like to hear one single on satellite radio
because you can't get on regular radio. Now, I'm going to go back to you. Who do you think the Democrats need to pick?
Right there, let's go back to you, Hugh. Right there is where the microphone was cut off. What are you going to do? Like I said, for people who think I just got pissed off and walked off, oh no. One thing that was happening was that I was able to get some of the things I had to say in to the program. I would have sat there for another hour and a half with these little rat bastards. But having worked in television as long as I have in the past, I can tell you when an executive producer or a producer pulls the microphone, says, cut the mic off on that guest ain't never coming back. Now, after my microphone has been cut, I'm getting up to leave. If you saw it, you saw it on camera. And Kasich has some comments about that.
I'm glad we lost the guy because I'll tell you something. On this show, we want to have people come on. We don't want people calling the president criminals, and we don't want
our side,
Republican side. I happen to be a Republican. I'm pretty fair on this show. It's fair and balanced. But what I'm going to say is I'm not going to tolerate Republicans calling John Kerry traitor or bad names like that.
Well, that's funny. You didn't have a problem when the albino in California on your program there called McAuliffe the Manchurian chairman or called Kerry an anti-war radical just 4 minutes ago. Come on, Kasich. Are you as stupid as you look? And finally, these. I love these final comments from albino boy Hugh Hewitt. Like I left because I refused to talk about issues. This lying little bastard. That's when they cut off my mic after attacking my radio show.
My friend David Dreyer and I like to say when we talk on the radio show every Monday, a good friend of yours, that if we can stick to the issues, Republicans win, especially in wartime. That's why you saw Mike leave. You were forcing him to talk about issues. He wants to throw things around like crime family. He wants to be McAuliffe. And you know what? I hope they give him a 24/7 cable channel because the American public is sick of the politics of personal destruction of Terry McAuliffe and of Mike Malloy.
Terry McAuliffe and Mike Malloy. Kathy? I never thought in my lifetime I would see my name and Terry McAuliffe's in the same sentence. I want to be Terry McAuliffe. No, Hugh Hewitt, I want to be you. I want to be you, Hugh, so I can immediately go home and kill myself, okay? Jesus. Now there's more. We'll have the whole interview. I don't know if it's up at my website yet or not, but we'll probably post the whole thing. But I'm here to tell you, I was getting said what I wanted to get said. I've spent, what, Kathy, 3 years doing these little half-assed appearances on MSNBC and CNN, and even once on Fox, although it wasn't live. That was a tape thing on Fox. And one thing I've learned in the 3 years, I don't care what network you're on, when you're on with these people, they usually invite liberals on for one reason, and that is to get you to bend over and grab your ankles while they slowly push it in. And I just absolutely will not do it. I won't do it. I refuse to do it. I tried to be Mr. Nice Guy. I tried to have a debate about the facts on all these different times when I used to be on, what was that program on CNN from the atrium there? What the hell was it? Talk Back Live. I tried and tried and tried to be a nice, nice man. Don't get nasty. Don't be ugly. And what did I get back for it? Just outshouted or pushed into a corner. Screw them. Any of these networks have me on, any of them, ever again. What you heard is an example of what they're going to get. Woo! You were the first one. You were the last one. Video killed the radio star. Video killed the radio star.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
There's a new voice on IE America Radio Network. It's Never Better with Marina Colby. Sundays from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. Never Better is an energetic show that explores and analyzes how you can be more successful people at work and in relationships. So make sure you tune in to Never Better with Marina Colby every Sunday from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to ieamericaradio.com.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel. Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour, a lot of people have asked, you know, they missed it or where can they see it up. Our excellent webmaster, Mark Marshall, will put the whole interview up, probably on the gallery page, maybe the first page of MikeMalloy.com. And at some point, it may not be this evening, but it'll be up there. I don't know where to start with these thugs. What I'm going to do, we have another break coming here very quickly, and then we're going to go to your phone calls. But, when Kasich said, one thing I learned in politics, you don't question people's character. You don't call them liars or criminals is not constructive. And I think what this little squirmy bastard did during the Clinton, the attack on Clinton about Monica Lewinsky, and prior to that, these Republicans called Bill and Hillary Clinton, and you all know this, everything from murderers to drug runners to rapists to white slavers. Bill was gay. Hillary was a lesbian. And see, in their minds, that's an insult. It just on and on and on. And then this little pasty-faced bastard, former congressman, has the nerve to sit there. It's a good thing he was in New York and I was in Atlanta. What do you mean by that, Mike? Well, I don't know what I mean. If we would have been sitting right across the table with him and Mr. Albino Man, I don't know what would have happened. I've said before on this program, anybody who knows me knows this, I can't stand liars and I can't stand sneaks. And when somebody accuses me of something to my face that is an absolute slur and a slander, I usually shoot first and ask questions later. It's a wonder I don't have a police record. And the flying monkeys on Fox have the audacity, the utter audacity, to accuse me of spinning the facts, to accuse me of gutter politics and spreading vitriol and not discussing the issues. And these bastards doctor photos and spread lies about Kerry and an imaginary intern? Oh, my God! Now, you and I both know that they're liars and sneaks and cheats and killers, as are their supporters. We understand that. You and I understand that. But what pisses me off, mainly, I guess, how many people were at the NASCAR thing over the weekend? How many people were sitting in that stadium where this little twerp, this little jack-legged freak George Bush, this cowardly little snake, got in a 20-car procession going around the track, and people cheering this little snake on, and then he stands up there and says, "Gentlemen, start your engines." That's what gets me. The Republicans, even when they're not being Republicans, they've got the entire media, to corrupt this country.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004. My my fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy.
And you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Put something on that says he's a great goof, liberal.
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. Generous constitutional freedoms, weak law enforcement, and lightly patrolled borders have made Canada an inviting place for dangerous extremists or terrorists to set up shop, says a new report by the Library of Congress in Washington. The report, titled Nations Hospitable to Organized Crime and Terrorism, was completed in October by the Congressional Library's Federal Research Division under an arrangement with the Central Intelligence Crime and Narcotics Center. The report notes the recent cooperation between Canadian and U.S. officials in fighting terrorism. It also acknowledges Canadian steps to toughen anti-terrorism and immigration laws, but cast doubt on whether they go far enough, saying Canada's liberal democratic identity may limit adoption of sterner measures. Archbishop Desmond Tutu will challenge Tony Blair and George Bush today to apologize for their pursuit of a counterproductive and immoral war in Iraq. In a scathing analysis of the backdrop to the invasion, he will ridicule the dangerously flawed intelligence that Britain and the U.S. used to justify military action, which has made the world a great deal less safe. The intervention of the Nobel Peace Prize winner in the controversy over Iraq follows a series of deadly terrorist attacks in the country over the past week, including an armed raid on a police station on Saturday in which 22 people died. The electronic voting system designed for the forthcoming American election is fundamentally flawed and could undermine the trustworthiness of the entire U.S. democratic process, a scientist has told the annual meeting of the American Association for the Advancement of Science. Paper ballots can be scrutinized to ensure they have not been misread or tampered with, but electronic votes recorded only as computer code cannot be checked to see the true intention of the voter, said David Dill, a professor of computer science at Stanford University in California. The system is in crisis. A quarter of the American public are voting on machines where there's very little protection of their votes. I don't think there's any reason to trust these machines, he said. More after this.
It won't happen to me.
There are 1 billion teenagers in the world today. That's 1 in 6 people. What if they don't know how or can't protect themselves against AIDS or unintended pregnancy? Help ensure people have access to the tools they need to build a healthy future. Visit www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
It happened to me.
Looking cheerful and dressed in a dark gray business suit with a salmon-colored tie instead of his trademark uniform, Cuban leader Fidel Castro used humor to defend himself from U.S. hostility, ridiculing George W. Bush for his gaffes. Bush could not debate a Cuban ninth grader who knows more than he does, Castro said in a speech to an audience of 1,400 economists who were in stitches when he read some of Bush's more insipid statements. Castro quoted Bush as saying, "I will have a foreign-handed foreign policy. I know how hard it is for you to put food on your family. More and more of our imports come from overseas, and the most important job is not to be governor or first lady in my case." For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
If you've got an old wreck of a car with a busted engine, you can put the shiniest coat of paint that there is on it, but that old wreck still won't take you anywhere. This reality seems to have escaped the Bushites, who keep slapping shiny new paint on their old wreck of an economic policy. The latest comes in response to the growing crisis of job losses in American manufacturing. In George W.'s 3-year tenure, nearly 3 million manufacturing jobs have been lost. These are usually the best-paying jobs in town, and when they go, so do local businesses that count on those workers to be customers, and soon the town's whole middle-class future dries up. This year, even though stock prices, corporate profits, and CEO pay are on the rise, American factories continue to shed jobs, and the wages of most workers are either stagnant or falling. So the Bushites painting crew has rushed right out with a bright new color they call a comprehensive strategy to address the challenges to U.S. manufacturers. It offers nothing but the same old corporate giveaways that this crew always put forward. More tax breaks, less environmental protections, more nuclear power, and more limits on the ability of consumers and workers to sue corporations for wrongdoing. To add sparkle to this coat of paint, the Bushites also call for a new President's Manufacturing Council to, get this, give corporate leaders more say in government. More say? These guys already own the White House, most of Congress, and the judiciary. They need more say like Rush Limbaugh needs another dose of painkillers. The Bushites' latest paint job was revealed at a media event staged in an Ohio factory. But even as Commerce Secretary Don Evans was laying it on thick, executives at a factory in neighboring Michigan were saying adios to their 2,700 workers, notifying them that their factory was being moved to Mexico. This is Jim Hightower saying, to get America moving, we don't need new paint, we need a new engine.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
don't
stop.
A few more years
on them. No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network. Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
I know you're out there somewhere, somewhere, somewhere. I know I'll find you somehow, and somehow I'll return.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see. I know you're out there somewhere, somewhere.
Welcome back. About 8 past the hour. Okay, I want to go to your phone calls now, and I don't know. You determine how much time you want to spend on this topic. We have other fish to fry, as you know. But you know, when people like John Kasich or Hugh Hewitt or the rest of these right wing jerks talk about my anger or my vitriol, if they knew how much anger and vitriol is out there in the heartland that they think they represent, they'd run and hide. The anger that comes from watching jobs disappear. The anger that comes from knowing that your aging grandparents don't have a retirement fund anymore because of what the thuggish backers of George Bush have done to those retirement funds. Anger, the people who can't get health insurance. anger the people who are being thrown off of Medicaid because they don't meet some phony-ass criterion anymore. Anger? How about the anger that our sons and daughters are dying in Iraq for a phony war? And these people talk to me about my anger because I get on that stupid-ass Fox Network, on that stupid-ass once-a-week program, and show a little feistiness, which, in fact, was more fun than it was anger. These people don't know anger. If they ever come out of their carefully constructed white persons' gated communities, whether it's the gated community in their minds or their political parties or where they actually live or Fox News Channel or CNN or wherever it is, if they ever, ever come out into the street where real Americans live, they are going to crap their pants when they find out the real anger, the real vitriol. Me? Damn. I'm just some third-rate talk show host that happened to show up on John Kasich's From the Heartland program. They want to see anger? Don't look to me for the anger. Ah. Okay, deep breath. Mitch is calling from Woodland Hills, California. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Doing fine, sir.
I can tell you, hearing the show the second time now,
yeah,
it was like a revelation because, I mean, you took each fact, hit it for a home run, and I didn't hear that the first time around. I went into that show Friday night with such anger at what I saw was a setup. I said, there's no way they're going to let Mike tell the truth on their dime. No way.
Well, that and like I say, that didn't quite happen. I mean, I got to tell the truth for about 18 minutes before.
You really did.
Yeah,
I didn't hear it the first time, though, because I was so angry at what they were trying to do. I knew they were setting
you
up, you know?
Well, we'll have the whole thing up at my website either later on tonight or tomorrow when I'm sure Mark will put it up there for us. I think I just sent him a video link to it.
It'd be great to get it on video, too, you know? I mean,
Yeah,
I mean, you were magnificent, and I didn't hear it till the second time around. Because I was, you mean these guys, these rats. That's what they are. They're rats.
They really are. They really are rats. And I'll tell you, I appreciate your compliment and everything, but you really don't. I don't think it's magnificent, Mitch. All you have to do, you, me, I don't care who it is,
mm-hmm,
sit down across from these weasels and just speak the truth.
I know, and you
and,
did.
And it sounds magnificent because we have been eyeball deep in lies and distortions ever since about 1993, right before the first Clinton tax increase went through on rich people, and Limbaugh and Hannity and everybody down the line. We're talking about how the economy was going to tank. They came out with the most hateful crap, and that's when they decided the Arkansas Project, go after Clinton, find anything on him, this pig that recorded the phone calls talking about the girlfriend of the Clinton's girlfriend. It all started back in 93 when Clinton said, look, there's a way to fix this economy. There's a way to bring jobs into this economy. There's a way to handle this. And he did what he did. I've said a million times, I'm getting sick of saying it, there's a lot of things Clinton did I didn't like. I don't like to this day. But one thing he did do was bring jobs and turn this economy around, and not a single American died on Clinton's watch as a result of a war that Clinton started.
Exactly.
So these people can say any damn thing they want. The truth is out there. Ooh.
You know, I mean that's all they could do is shout you down and turn it off. Mike. But there was a moment, when I swear there was a moment. And I says, I'm glad he's not an in-studio guest, because at this moment I thought, if he was, Kathy's going to be bailing him out tomorrow morning.
There was
this one moment when there was this little flash, and I said, oh, he's a little angry at this moment. I think it was just right when you grabbed the mic and stood up, you know?
Yeah, well, I was. Because I know what happens in television. Once it was apparent to me that they had cut off my mic, before I had a chance to answer the little bastard's charge, mm-hmm, I knew that was it. I knew there was nothing left for me to do except get up, take off the mic, remove the earpiece, and leave. That's all you can do.
And there talk about your legitimacy was like it was their attempt at the lowest blow they could possibly think of. I mean, that was probably the lowest thing they could. They probably had that planned, that remark. You know, that sounded like a
standard. Sure. I'm sure they did. Kasich got wrong information. When I got to the Fox studio here in Atlanta, the guy who was in the studio, it was late at night, 8 o'clock on a Saturday night. He's there with his son. He doesn't want to be there, and I looked at what he had typed in or what had been sent to him from New York, and it said Mike Malloy, a Sirius satellite radio employee. And I said to the technician here locally, I said, well, that's not true. I don't work for Sirius. I'm a nationally syndicated talk show host, but I don't, and Sirius carries my show. But I said, you might want to change that. You know, because I don't want to get anybody upset, you know, i.e. America, who I still work for another 10 days, or Sirius. So, I said that. Well, the technician typed that up to New York, and apparently Kasich saw that, and he thought, I guess I'll have to change my story. And he didn't. So you're right. They probably had that all set up as if Sirius Satellite Radio Network was not becoming an important and powerful source for communication. It's just amazing to me. Oh, well.
Absolutely true, man.
Hey, Mitch, thanks for checking in, buddy.
One last thing.
Go ahead.
One last thing. It's great to be an outlaw, ain't it?
Well, when truth is on your side.
That's right, brother.
When truth is on your side. Thanks, Mitch.
Peace.
All right, sir. Take care. No, when truth is on your side and you're an outlaw, that's weird. That's really, really weird. But in this business, in talk radio business, am I an outlaw? Oh, hell yeah. An outlaw with no price on my head, nothing. Nobody wants me. there's nothing under my face that says reward, you know, wanted dead or alive. There's wanted dead or alive, but there's no reward. That's just the way it goes. I'm not whining. That's just the way it goes. Robert is calling from Granby, Massachusetts. Hey, Robert.
How you doing, Mike?
Doing fine, sir.
I thought we'd play around with a little pea-sized minds of any of the flying monkey right who still hanging on tonight, okay?
The lurkers that are listening? Yeah, go. I'm sure there are hundreds of them because that albino, Hugh Hewitt, mentioned my website.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure a lot of them are listening.
Well, let's help them out of one of their little problems. Of course, they need to get this pathetic piece of president reelected. And to do that, they need to be able to declare Iraq a victory. What does that mean for him? And this, by the way, is very much in the tradition of a modest proposal a la Tom Swift. Okay. That'll get them scurrying. It's monosyllabic, so it should take them only about 25 minutes to figure out what I'm talking about.
Well, they're going to try to figure out what the word you just used. What does that mean?
Good point.
But go ahead.
Okay, here's the problem. They've got to get out by June 1st, and they need to do a couple of things when they get out. Have to suppress the Shiite majority. If possible, put down a Kurdish separatist movement, ensure that the oil industry is delivered intact to Halliburton so that Cheney and thereby the Republican Party can be funded into the next few decades.
Mm-hmm.
They need somebody who's got experience with rigged elections, who, like our commander-in-chief, likes to dress up in costumes and pose for photographs.
Right.
Somebody who's not above using the tools of the state for nakedly partisan political suppressive purposes, somebody who's under our control and who is available. Also, it would be best if we had somebody with whom we had a personal relationship, who was comfortable with receiving WMDs from us,
mm-hmm.
as long as he points them at the right targets. Of course, in receiving the WMDs, he'll provide another solution for the Bushies, which is at last they can point to WMDs in Iraq.
There you go.
Anybody come to mind?
You answer it.
Oh, I don't know. He used to live subterraneanly in and around Baghdad.
Yeah.
He's an avid hunter.
Yeah.
Cheney and Scalia could have another buddy to go out and slaughter animals with.
Yeah.
We've dealt with him before, buddy of Donald's.
Yeah, they used to make deals on...
Absolutely.
Are his initials Saddam Hussein?
very close. And, you know, another real nice kicker here?
What?
Of course, when we bring him back and rig the election, of course, we're pretty good at rigging elections, as is he, somebody is bound to point out, isn't this the person that we vilified,
mm-hmm.
that we equated with Satan and Hitler?
Right.
No problem. Bring him on arm in arm with Billy Graham Jr.
Sure.
And announce him saved and redeemed.
He got saved.
Jesus, the Christians will go wild.
He got saved. Another soul for Christ.
You betcha.
I hear you. Yeah. I hear you. Robert, thanks for checking in.
All right.
All right, so you have a nice evening. Oh, God. I can see it now. Well, Billy Graham, how old is he? He's about 120. He's going to have another one of those crusades, I think, in L.A., which, if I'm not mistaken, is where he started with those big crusades. I can remember back in the late 40s when I was a little kid, and my grandmother thought the sun rose and set in Billy Graham's hands. She really did. My grandmother thought Billy Graham was an absolute... a voice of Jesus. But so he's going to have this thing in L.A. That'd be a great time. Bring Saddam up on stage, shave him up, clean him up a little bit, make sure his teeth are examined, and just say he's thrown away the devil religion of Islam and become a born-again Christian. And there's, just like he said, there's our ruler of Iraq.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
What does most political talk radio sound like?
Good morning and welcome to my show. I'm fine. Thanks for asking.
A little self-centered?
We're not going to take any calls right now because I want to talk. Remember, the show was at its best when it's more me and less of you.
Not very listener friendly.
We're talking about all the progress we've made in Iraq. Tom and Seattle, you're on the air. Make it quick.
Yeah, I don't really agree with what you said about...
And I don't agree with you calling my show. Let's get it clear, people. If you don't agree with me, then you must be a communist.
A little one-sided?
The fact is that the Dixie Chicks should be sent to Iraq to live in a camp. Okay, with Osama. Jeff in California, you're on the air. Make it quick.
I have a comment on how the U.S. has completely forgotten about Osama bin Laden.
No, you don't have a comment, Jeff. But what you do have is the privilege to listen to my show. And you're abusing it. And I am offended.
All around bad radio.
Says you.
But there is an alternative.
What?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio on the only progressive talk radio network there is, i.e. America Radio Network. For more information, go to ieamericaradio.com.
You'll be back.
No, they won't.
Yes, they will.
Get out of here.
Don't touch me.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
No, we've had no evidence that Saddam Hussein was involved with the September the 11th.
Sit down and shut up. By the way, during the break, it just occurred to me, I tossed around the word albino a couple of times, and I'm kind of embarrassed by that because, as Kathy points out to me, it is a genetic defect, and but see, I fight against my racism all the time. I fight against my sexism all the time. I fight against my ageism all the time. I think I've overcome the homo stuff, you know, the homophobia or the, you know, I think I'm past that. But I'm still struggling with the rest of it. I struggle with it every day, and especially the racism. I struggle with the racism every day, and apparently I need to struggle more with, calling somebody an albino instead of just pasty-faced white man and leaving it there. You know, but anyway, if you deal with that condition or a family member does, I apologize. That was I do that all the time, don't I, Kathy? I just say things that are, you know, I don't think and I don't realize that all I'm doing though is expressing my own inherent weaknesses, and I apologize for it. That's all. Let's move on. I just apologize for it. Dr. John is calling from Springfield, Missouri. Hey, Dr. John.
Hey, Mike. I tell you what, I'm glad I had a few minutes to wait to pick myself up off the floor, holding my sides, thinking of you and your buddy Terry McAuliffe.
Oh, yeah, I want to be Terry McAuliffe. Oh, God, if there's one human being I could be, it would be him.
Yeah.
Oh, dear God.
I told Kathy I was going to talk about the creationist, who I call cretinist.
Yeah.
But I think something maybe you said a little bit more important. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but I spent 19 years in the Air Guard.
I knew you'd had a long military career. I wasn't sure how long it was, John.
At any rate, you know, the release of Bush's 201 file brings up a lot of interesting questions. And I don't know that anybody's asking. I don't know that they've had time to really look at it and think about it yet or not.
Mm-hmm.
But all of the officers that I knew kept their own 201 files.
Mm-hmm.
They were duplicates of whatever official files they were.
Right.
And we have a credible source who said that he saw material in the wastebasket,
yes,
which all of a sudden has been produced.
Right.
Now then, we know that there are different sources. But the sources that he said came out of this disciplinary unit in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, I have a friend in St. Louis who says that came out of Page, out of the St. Louis repository. What's important about this is it's not Bush's 201 file, his personnel file, that's important.
Mm-hmm.
It's the unit files. It's seeing the sign-in sheets from the unit, seeing
right.
the morning reports,
right.
seeing the aircraft logs. You know, part of this time, he was, in fact, qualified to fly.
That's right.
And
until he missed the physical,
until
and was grounded.
Until he was grounded, he was qualified to fly.
Right.
And so why wasn't he flying?
Mm-hmm.
Or if he was flying, why can't he produce the what's called the AF-1s, the most important document in the Air Force, the flight aircraft logs? the airplane logs.
It's an incredible web of lies that he and his campaign people and the Republicans have woven. And I, as you're pointing out, if somebody does ever all George Bush would have to do would be to produce these very simple documents, put them out there for the world to see, and then say to the Democrats, now go pound sand up your ass because I just proved all of you wrong. But he can't do it, can he, John?
Well, no, he can't. And all I would do in order to prove it is produce. I'd call the unit and say, hey, go back in your records and look at the sign-in sheet.
Yeah, and produce the ones every single day.
Every day that I signed in. Produce them.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter what I did. I might have been there sharpening pencils.
But that ain't going to happen. You want to hold on?
No, thanks, Mike. Hey,
okay.
Listen, you keep those cretinous in mind. We'll talk about it later.
Okay, thanks, Dr. John. Quick break here. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
You want to wag the dog. It's like falling off a log. It's so easy with propaganda, propaganda, propaganda. Try and convince the folks the beach is never sandy. You can convert into lies what they've seen with their own eyes. It's amazing. Propaganda. Life is so complex.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Weather-related disasters are a growing drain on the global economy. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Last year, floods, windstorms, heat waves, and other natural disasters caused $60 billion worth of damage around the world. Researchers who study weather-related disasters say the price tag has risen sharply in recent decades and the trend is likely to continue. Thomas Loster works for the Munich Reinsurance Company in Germany, and he heads a UN commission that studies the costs of climate change and related disasters. Loster says the most expensive weather-related damage last year occurred in Europe, where a severe heat wave wilted crops and killed more than 20,000 people. In addition, China suffered heavy flooding, and the United States was hit hard by tornadoes in the Midwest. Loster says 2003 was one of the worst years in history in terms of weather-related damage. He says that rising expense is part of a long-term trend.
If we look at weather-related losses on the long run, comparing decades, we find tremendous increases in losses.
Loster says the economic costs of natural disasters were six times greater in the 1990s than they were in the 1960s. Loster says one reason for the increase in damage has to do with the weather itself. He says some extreme weather events, like the so-called 100-year floods and storms, are growing more frequent.
Every person can read that there is a 100-year event around the corner, and this tells us that they are no longer 100-year events, but the period has shortened.
Loster says the main reason for the increase in weather-related damage has to do with people. More and more people now live in disaster-prone places, and that means there's more high-value property that's now at risk. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick-dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
narwhal,
Talk. We talk about what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Iguana. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Ostrich.
Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bat.
Wildebeest.
Yeah.
Zebra.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Hey, conservatives, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. Here's more Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Before I come back to your calls, I've got to get this in. I wanted to get it in Friday. It's a little bit here from last Wednesday. Henry Waxman, the California Democrat, is calling on John Ashcroft to reveal who cleared members of the bin Laden family and other Saudi citizens to leave the country, this country, immediately following the terrorist attacks on September 11, 2001. We've talked about this 100 times. And it seems to be just a non-issue that the press and people are just don't give a damn. Waxman says the public needs reassurance that the Bush administration conducted what Waxman calls an appropriate investigation of the Saudis that were allowed to leave. Waxman, in his letter to the psychopathically religious freak Ashcroft, said, quote, if such investigation did not occur, the public deserves to know why. A committee aide, Waxman sits on the House Government Reform Committee, a committee aide said Waxman decided to send a letter now because there was never any satisfactory answer on the questions that were out there. Now, what he's asked for, what Waxman is asking for, is the identity of all Saudi citizens allowed to leave on that flight. Also, he's inquiring about Abdullah and Omar bin Laden. In his letter, Waxman says that the bin Laden's family members may have had both general or specific information on the al-Qaeda terrorist network, including the terrorist leader's whereabouts. That would be their kinsman, Osama. At a Senate Banking, Housing, and Urban Affairs Committee hearing last year, according to TheHill.com, Richard Clark, who has headed the National Security Council's counterterrorism security group, said, quote, what happened was that shortly after September 11th, when it became clear that most of the terrorists of 9/11 were Saudis, the Saudi government feared that there would be retribution and vigilantism in the United States against the Saudis. That seemed to be a reasonable fear, end quote. Clark said this kind of thing, you know, evacuating people like this is done, quote, all the time, end quote. Clark said the list of personnel that were being evacuated was provided to the FBI. We asked the FBI to see if there was anyone on the evacuation list that they wanted to detain and question. The FBI said, no, go ahead. And if you believe all this, you know, there's a bridge that connects a couple of boroughs in New York I'd like to talk to you about, maybe selling you. The point here, Waxman seems to be the only one left in Congress, Democrat or Republican, who asked for an explanation. You know, this thing about flying members of the Bush crime family, albeit not blood members, but tangential members of the Bush crime family out of the country, the Saudis, the bin Ladens. What, are we to believe that these people could not have been provided adequate protection by the United States government? Their business partner, George Herbert Walker Bush, and George Walker Bush are in positions of extreme power in this country, and they couldn't have been protected? That's not the reason they were left. They were flown out of the country. The story from the Saudi government is a cover story. The truth is, these people understand. They know what happened. This is just like what happened in Central America. The entire world knew what was going on in the 80s in Central America, except us. This is just like what happened in Panama. The entire world knew that the former Bush ally and CIA asset, Manuel Noriega, had become unmanageable. It was time to take him out. The American people didn't know. The entire world knew that Mohammad Mossadegh had been overthrown by the CIA and the Shah of Iran installed as a leader. The American public didn't know. This goes on and on and on. It never stops. So now Henry Waxman is saying, look, Mr. Attorney General, the American public needs some reassurance about the people your FBI spirited out of this country, the Bush crime family business partners, the Bin Ladens, and the Saudi royals. How about some reassurances, Mr. Attorney General? Well, don't hold your breath on that one either, because John Ashcroft says to people who ask for information or the truth, go screw yourself. I am a follower of Jesus, and I don't have to do anything that you ask, request, or stupidly demand. Get out of my face. I'm John Ashcroft. It's time for me to go anoint myself with some more Crisco oil. Now go away. God, I hate these people. I hate them because they are turning this country into a religio-fascist death camp. That's why. God, I hate them. Jerry is calling from Sparks, Nevada. Hey, Nevada. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, guy. Hey, I got to apologize first off. I posted on your message board that I thought that that video had been edited. I saw it. I think Spitfire had a link or somebody did, and I missed something in the original broadcast, so that was my mistake.
Oh, no big deal. It's okay.
The other thing, I was at the Nevada caucuses last Saturday, and I attended one other time. In 92, and I was the only one there. Those caucuses are usually like after the circus is over, and there's a few people wandering around in the halls. But this time there were seven just in my precinct there.
Mm-hmm.
Every precinct was packed, and everybody's going to county, too. So there's a lot of people that are stirred up out there.
Well, that's good. That's good. Yeah, I know records are being set in these Democratic caucuses and Democratic primaries. I just hope that will hold and it is like the tip of a pattern. The Democrats this time, we're not going to sit home on our asses and hope that George Bush gets defeated. That this time we understand what's at risk and we'll get out in the hundreds, tens of millions and vote.
And I'm pretty sure that there's still enough interest in a wide looking at all of the issues, because the seven votes, Kerry got two, Dean got two, Kucinich got one, and Edwards got two. So mm-hmm. there's still some interest in not focusing in on the anointed boy.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, I heard you mentioned Billy Graham earlier, or somebody called and mentioned Billy Graham.
Right.
Billy Graham was the guy the Bush family called when they had a little religious debate at their dinner table one time. And so they could just call him up on the phone at dinner, and he'd answer. So he's not a special kind of guy like... You know, he's just like you and I, so let's keep that in mind.
Oh, yeah. There was a time in my life, maybe 30 years ago, when I was still saying things like, Billy Graham is just one powerful preacher.
Yeah.
I still think he's a powerful preacher. I believed for the longest time when I was a teenager that he was a true man of Christ until I realized... that he is not. That he's like so many of these religious hypocrites. He will condemn people because they happen to be gay. He will condemn people. He spent a lot of time condemning people because they happen to be of a different race other than his. Billy Graham is another religious hypocrite. It did take me a long time to figure that out. But I was exposed to him when I was very young, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. I spent a lot of time with my grandmother, and every Sunday afternoon after church and after Sunday dinner, she would turn the Billy Graham show on. If I remember, it came on at 5 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday, and we'd listen to it till 6, and off we'd go to church again.
Yeah,
so I honestly believe for the longest time that Billy Graham really spoke the Word of God, the Word of Christ, of love and compassion and understanding, until I realized he was just a hate-filled, a dirty old man, just like the rest of these evangelicals who wouldn't know the truth if it came up and bit him on the ass.
And that's the whole point about the Air Guard issue. It's a matter of character and special privilege that these characters think they have. They think they can walk on water, which is being held up by you and me. And
right.
That's the whole crux of the the issue. It's a special privilege class that leads us around through all this stuff. So I hope come November you're on the air somewhere, somehow, to give us a play-by-play as we disassemble this place, because I'm predicting Nevada's going blue. I think Ohio will go blue. I'm from Indiana and originally, and I think that'll go blue this time, too.
I hope so.
So be on the air somehow, please.
I hope that happens. Thanks, Jerry.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. Appreciate your call. Another thing that started to piss me off about Billy Graham, aside from his hypocrisy, is his belief that he has. And I know every fundamentalist Christian has this belief, and this is why I condemn them all in my own little dark heart. This belief that somehow they, only they, have the path to immortality. You know, immortality is a joke anyway. Come on, folks. Get real, okay? There is no such thing. You know, there is no gateway. I don't care about the Seth Speaks book. I don't care about the Tibetan Book of the Dead or the Egyptian Book of the Dead or the Christian Bible or any of this stuff. When you're dead, dude. That's it. Click. It's all over. But for someone to play on the fears, or if not fear, the uncertainty, or the anxiety that every living human being has because we have been cursed with self-awareness, if you want to look at it as a curse, that anxiety of, oh my God, I'm going to cease to exist. You know, the ego cannot contemplate its own non-existence. That's impossible. So what happens? In place of that comes global, catastrophic fear and anxiety. So we immediately, oh, Jesus, we got to invent religion. And for Billy Graham to lift his leg and urinate over all religions except his, you see, the arrogance of that, the insane arrogance of that. You know, to say that there are 30 mythologies out there about afterlife. Mine is the only one. And then with the threat of eternal damnation if you don't accept his. That sucks. You don't do it this way, you'll burn in hell forever. And your mama will, and your grandmammy will, and your aunties and uncles, and your nieces and nephews, and all the babies that never accepted Christ, and that nice little 8-year-old kid down the street that was killed in a car wreck, who happened to be a Jew or a Buddhist, burning in hell! Screw that. Absolutely screw it. Not interested. And I don't think any rational human being should be. But that's just my opinion. As John Kasich would say, you're so full of vitriol! Yeah. Dave is calling from Bellingham, Washington. Hey, Dave.
Hello there. How are you doing?
Doing fine. How are you?
Pretty good. I want to totally change the subject here, if you don't mind.
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I want to preface this. Back in 2000, fall of 2000, the conventional wisdom says that Bush beat Al Gore by 534 votes. Well, of course, we know the vote counting stopped, so we don't know how that really came out.
Yeah. No, that Al Gore beat Bush by 534,000 popular votes.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, right. You said it backwards. But that's right. Go ahead. I know what you meant.
In Florida, Nader won 97,000 votes. Now, I figured that if I did the math on this, and I figured that if Bush supposedly won Florida by 543 votes, and Nader got 97,000 votes in Florida.
Right.
That means if 0.5% of the Nader voters in Florida had gone for Gore, there wouldn't have been any dispute about the election. Gore would have been sworn in. Now, what I'm leading to...
You're just leading up to another toasting of Nader supporters, right?
Yeah, I have my feelings. But I did want to mention that in the Seattle Times and in the Detroit Free Press, they're running headlines saying that Nader is going to run again.
Yeah?
Yeah, apparently he's been waffling on whether he's going to run, and now he's changing his mind. He's going to be in, I guess.
Well, he may run what, as an independent?
Yeah, I don't know. Are the Greens going to keep him around this time?
Well, he didn't run as a Green last time. He was not. He sought and got the Green vote.
Right.
And then when the campaign was over, when the election was over, he immediately dumped the Green Party. I don't know. He runs as an independent, I guess. I frankly couldn't care less. Let him come on. Bring it on. I think people understand, even hardcore Nader supporters understand that there is a real Democrat in the race now, and it is Dennis Kucinich, and that Nader is not needed. Nader would make a great... He should stay... Look, I've quoted this before. Lyndon Johnson said this in reference to some politician. Johnson said it's better to have him on the inside of the tent pissing out than the outside of the tent pissing in. Now, that's how I feel about Ralph Nader. He should be outside the tent, whether the tent has been set up by Democrats or Republicans, pissing in. That's Ralph Nader's position. Ralph Nader's position is not to be president. It's not to be any elected official, because then, to either greater or lesser degrees, he loses his credibility and he becomes corrupt.
Right.
So what Nader should be doing is just... outside tent pissing in, Lyndon Johnson said.
He wants to be a spoiler of anybody.
He started to irritate me. He started to remind me of a cousin I have who just a little snot. Well, this is years ago. We're all old men now. But when we were young kids, he was just a little snot, always wanted his way. And if he didn't get his way, he'd throw a fit until my grandma would go get a willow switch and whip his ass. But that's what Nader is reminding me of. Just a snotty cousin of mine that you want to say, sit down and shut up. You know?
Not too different from a Republican in that way.
Say again?
Not too different from Republicans in that way.
Right, exactly. Hey, thanks for checking in, Dave.
Thank you. I'm going to miss you.
Well, we'll be back someplace.
Okay.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. Yeah, Nader. I don't know what to say about that. If we didn't have Dennis Kucinich in the race, and to a lesser extent, Howard Dean, okay. But we have one real Democrat in the Democratic primary, and that's Dennis Kucinich. For people who want a real Democrat, for Christ's sake, vote for him.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
my name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. I understand that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens have been listening to that Mike Malloy person pollute this great nation's airwaves for 3 hours every night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Surely you can find a more productive use of your evening hours, like organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly in your victory garden. Or you could spend the 3 hours simply standing in your yard, saluting the flag on your house, apartment, or trailer, or whatever you little people live in. I'm told some chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists every night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time when they feel the unnatural and un-American temptation to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. I'm certain in time you'll find the method that works best for you and your family. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
The Tom Hartman Show.
This is Tom Hartman. I'm calling for a return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy that this country was founded on when corporations had to answer to the people and couldn't buy off politicians, where fair play wasn't a code phrase for the rich getting more and working and middle management people getting less, where there was a social contract that people's basic needs would be taken care of because that's what we do in a community, in a nation that was founded on justice and fairness, not on materialism and greed. Where people could work to get ahead, but at the same time, we don't leave people starving in the streets. The eternal question of this program is, are we advancing democracy or are we advancing corporatism?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. After tonight, we have 9 programs left on this network, and then this network goes out of business and we disappear. So until such time, I hope that we resurface someplace else. So I keep mentioning this so that if you have been listening to this program over the past 3 years and 4 months and have been inclined to call but haven't, you have 4 days this week and 5 days next week, and that's it. All right? All right. Patrick is calling from Germany. Heidelberg? No, you told me.
Yeah, it's just outside. It's
outside of Heidelberg.
Yeah.
Hey, Patrick.
Good morning.
What are you doing? Here you are again up at 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock in the morning. And I've been waiting for an hour, and I got 4 minutes to ask my question.
No, I'll give you more than 4 minutes. Hey, you're not paying for the call, are you?
It's not that expensive, depending on what carrier I can get, but I do pay for it.
Oh, yeah. You do? Yeah. Calling the 800? Oh, my God, I didn't know that. I would have bumped you up to the front of the list. I thought you'd figured out some way to tie it.
It depends. Like, if you can get a cheap carrier, you only pay, like, 2-3 cents a minute, but
yeah,
their lines are often clogged, so you have to...
Well, you know, right as you get started here, we're going to have to take another break, but I will come back to you. Now, what were you going to say? Let's get it started.
Well, okay, first of all, my American vitriolic sweetheart, you're my hero.
You're so full of vitriol!
Comment about the appearance. I think it seems rather obvious to me that their point was to show just how ugly the Democrats are by having you on.
Yeah.
How vitriolic they can be. And they probably succeeded in that. But, you know, the main job of the echo chamber is to tell the vast America how lucky they are to lose their jobs and daily convince them that yellow is green. You
that's
know?
Right. That's right.
That's why they have to spend so much.
And it's a good and it's a good idea to be sacrificing their sons and daughters so that
right.
Bush and his cronies can
right.
make more money.
That takes a lot of energy, and
it
is sort of unstable because of that. And what you did was upset some of those people, you know, and upsetting is not something they want. And I think they convinced those who didn't need it convincing that the left was evil, but they also upset some kind of people, and they don't like people to be upset.
That's true. Hey, do you want to hold on, Patrick?
So, yeah.
Okay, let me put you on hold. I'll come back to you right after this break. And everybody else's phone call, too. We have one open line if you want to join in, 800-825-5937. Maybe one of those right-wing flying monkeys who's lurking around the program tonight would want to call in. I promise I won't give you too severe a case of red ass, just enough so you wouldn't be able to sit down for the next hour. But come on, call in.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
On Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her
right.
boogieing?
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows than you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
Archbishop Desmond Tutu will challenge Tony Blair and George Bush today to apologize for their pursuit of a counterproductive and immoral war in Iraq. In a scathing analysis of the backdrop to the invasion, he will ridicule the dangerously flawed intelligence that Britain and the U.S. used to justify a military action which has made the world a great deal less safe. The intervention of the Nobel Peace Prize winner in the controversy over Iraq follows a series of deadly terrorist attacks in the country over the past week, including an armed raid on a police station on Saturday in which 22 people died. The electronic voting system designed for the forthcoming American election is fundamentally flawed and could undermine the trustworthiness of the entire U.S. democratic process, a scientist has told the annual meeting of the American Association for the Advancement of Science. Paper ballots can be scrutinized to ensure they have not been misread or tampered with, but electronic votes recorded only as computer code cannot be checked to see the true intention of the voter, said David Dill, a professor of computer science at Stanford University in California. The system is in crisis. A quarter of the American public are voting on machines where there's very little protection of their votes. I don't think there's any reason to trust these machines, he said. Generous constitutional freedoms, weak law enforcement, and lightly patrolled borders have made Canada an inviting place for dangerous extremists or terrorists to set up shop, says a new report by the Library of Congress in Washington. The report, titled Nations Hospitable to Organized Crime and Terrorism, was completed in October by the Congressional Library's Federal Research Division under an arrangement with the Central Intelligence Crime and Narcotics Center. The report notes the recent cooperation between Canadian and U.S. officials in fighting terrorism. It also acknowledges Canadian steps to toughen anti-terrorism and immigration laws, but cast doubt on whether they go far enough, saying Canada's liberal democratic identity may limit adoption of sterner measures. More after this.
It won't happen to me.
There are 1 billion teenagers in the world today. That's one in six people. What if they don't know how or can't protect themselves against AIDS or unintended pregnancy? Help ensure people have access to the tools they need to build a healthy future. Visit www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
It happened to me.
Looking cheerful and dressed in a dark gray business suit with a salmon-colored tie instead of his trademark uniform, Cuban leader Fidel Castro used humor to defend himself from U.S. hostility, ridiculing George W. Bush for his gaffes. Bush could not debate a Cuban ninth grader who knows more than he does, Castro said in a speech to an audience of 1,400 economists who were in stitches when he read some of Bush's more insipid statements. Castro quoted Bush as saying, "I will have a foreign-handed foreign policy. I know how hard it is for you to put food on your family. More and more of our imports come from overseas, and the most important job is not to be governor or first lady in my case." For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
If you've got an old wreck of a car with a busted engine, you can put the shiniest coat of paint that there is on it, but that old wreck still won't take you anywhere. This reality seems to have escaped the Bushites, who keep slapping shiny new paint on their old wreck of an economic policy. The latest comes in response to the growing crisis of job losses in American manufacturing. In George W.'s three-year tenure, nearly 3 million manufacturing jobs have been lost. These are usually the best-paying jobs in town, and when they go, so do local businesses that count on those workers to be customers, and soon the town's whole middle-class future dries up. This year, even though stock prices, corporate profits, and CEO pay are on the rise, American factories continue to shed jobs, and the wages of most workers are either stagnant or falling. So the Bushites painting crew has rushed right out with a bright new color they call a comprehensive strategy to address the challenges to U.S. manufacturers. It offers nothing but the same old corporate giveaways that this crew always put forward. More tax breaks, less environmental protections, more nuclear power, and more limits on the ability of consumers and workers to sue corporations for wrongdoing. To add sparkle to this coat of paint, the Bushites also call for a new President's Manufacturing Council to, get this, give corporate leaders more say in government. More say? These guys already own the White House, most of Congress, and the judiciary. They need more say like Rush Limbaugh needs another dose of painkillers. The Bushites' latest paint job was revealed at a media event staged in an Ohio factory. But even as Commerce Secretary Don Evans was laying it on thick, executives at a factory in neighboring Michigan were saying adios to their 2,700 workers, notifying them that their factory was being moved to Mexico. This is Jim Hightower saying, to get America moving, we don't need new paint, we need a new engine.
Mr. Rogers' parenting book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. We are talking with Patrick, who has called in from just outside Heidelberg, Germany. Where were we?
I wanted to talk a little about pissing in from outside the tent.
Okay.
Expanding on that some more. I spent much of the 90s in Germany, and so I caught what's happening with Fox and Gingrich and Limbo, but I really had no day-to-day firsthand experience of what it really was like. And when I came back to the States, like in 2000, I was just mesmerized how things had changed, how far things had gone to the right.
I bet that must have been one hell of a shock.
It was. It definitely was.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons that happened was quite obviously because you had this constant pressure from the right, and there was just nobody pressuring from the left, nobody pissing in from outside the tent.
Right,
maybe defending Clinton from time to time, but that's how I can explain to myself where this move came about.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That did happen, and part of the reason it happened was the Democratic Party had been emasculated when it was taken over by the Democratic Leadership Conference.
Right.
And at that point, Democrats like Sam Nunn and Al Gore and Al Fromm and Bill Clinton and who was the guy from Arkansas, Kathy? There were just a whole bunch of Democrats who decided that the way to be a good Democrat was to be Republican light,
right,
and don't make waves.
Right.
Now, did it get for the Democratic Party the election of Bill Clinton? Yeah, it sure did. Did it get for the, and as a result of that, did the American economy boom along for a while? Yes, it did. As a result of that, were there some good stats that came out of this country during the Clinton years? Yes, there were. A decline in divorces, a decline in murder, a decline in teenage suicide, a decline in sexually transmitted diseases, a decline in teenage pregnancies.
There were some negative sides.
Right. There were some good things that came. But going back to your core point, when the Democratic Party was emasculated by the Democratic Leadership Conference, you're absolutely right. There was no Democrat left to stand out there and say, no, this is BS. We're not going to do this anymore.
Exactly. Now, I'm a Kucinich man to the core, to the end, to the last day possible.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's what it means to be a Democrat in our time. I'm not particularly a green per se myself. And the other thing is, despite all my outrage at the Bush administration, I'm really under no illusion about our other presidents when it comes to lying about their policies, especially when it comes to foreign policies. And if you really get down to it, Bush might not even have more blood on his hands or caused more damage than any of the others we've had. The thing what's so
well,
he's being so moronic about it, and you don't like to be screwed over by somebody you think is dumber than you, and B, it's all in the open. And the fact that he's all these lies are so obvious is the only thing that will in the end get me on the any one but Bush ticket, because I think it'll set a new precedent for what people can get away with if we don't oust him.
Patrick, let me add something to that. You're right in that Bush may not have as much blood on his hands as a Dick Nixon. Lyndon Johnson. But here's something to consider. The people around George W. Bush, who are making policy and telling the little puppet bastard what to say, do have an enormous amount of blood.
Oh, yeah, they're all Reaganites, buckets of blood.
They're old Nixonites. They're old members of the Ford administration. They are Reaganites. They are the filthiest, worst of the worst of the Republican Party.
They're following the same script as they did when they were the last time they were in power.
Right, and as the Democrats have been emasculated by the Democratic Leadership Conference, the Republican Party has been turned into a party of American neo-fascism. fascism by these very people. So you may be right. Bush may not have as much blood on his own hands. You know, he's a dumbass. He's a total dumbass.
Right.
This is not somebody like Nixon who could sit around and figure out ways to slaughter hundreds of thousands of people in Cambodia. This is not somebody like Elliot Abrams and Oliver North who could sit around and figure out how to slaughter hundreds of thousands of people in Central America. George Bush is a dumbass. All he wants to do, really, is run an oil company someplace, rip off the locals, and make a lot of money. Get drunk, do some crack, and go see Jesus on Sunday. That's all the dude wants.
Let me get down to my question, because that's what I want to hear. That's what I want to listen to you answer.
Okay.
It would appear to me, given all of that, that once we get another Democrat in quotation marks into office late this year, it would appear to me that it even be preferable to have someone that's further on the right, because it just seems to me that we have to be able to attack this person, put some pressure on from the progressive side, attack him on death penalty and foreign trade and foreign policy, and to just get this going. I mean, you personally, I know you'll always call a spade a spade. But what's your take on that? Is that, you know, having someone in the middle that we can put some pressure on from the progressive side so that this pendulum doesn't always keep sliding ever farther to the right? Do you think that's something that just won't happen anyway? Well, my fear is that everybody this groundswell will just disappear after a Democrat is in office and everything will just mosley on. Or do you think putting on pressure like that will just crush the person in
office in the middle, or what
needs to happen? What do you think will happen?
I think Kerry is that middle person that you're talking about. Kerry has got some very conservative streaks in him. He's pro-death penalty. He's pro-this. He's pro-that. He's pro-NAFTA. He's pro-keeping a military force all over the planet, U.S. military force all over the planet. But he's not George Bush, and he would not put in his cabinet, I would hope, murderous thugs like Rumsfeld or Ashcroft or the list goes on and on. So,
right, but the pendulum will swing back. And do we need to it would appear to me that we'd have to not defend all the time, but focusing on defending this person, but actually putting on reviving this pressure from the progressive side.
How important do you think is that, and
will it happen, or will it crush it?
I think it's very important to put the pressure on, but the pressure has got to come. It's got to come in the form of grassroots pressure. If you get somebody in like Kerry, then it's necessary in the 2006 election to get liberal Democrats into Congress, liberal Democrats into the Senate, so that these liberal, and I hate to use that term because to me it's redundant, but if you get liberal Democrats then inside Kerry's own party on the legislative side who can not apply pressure, but say to him, look, it's time for you to go back to democratic principles, and we are here in the House and the Senate to protect your flank, your left flank. We're here to protect you, and we're also here to get true democratic legislation passed. So I think it would be necessary. I think it's a good idea. Kerry is not a liberal. To me, Kerry's not a Democrat. He's a centrist, a Republican light, kind of in the Clinton or Al Gore mold. Now, I'm not saying that's necessarily bad, unless you get into political purity. If you get into political purity, then it's a bad thing. If you get into throwing this dumb bastard Bush and his murderers out of office, then Kerry would be a good one to do it. I hope that comes through clear for you, Patrick.
All right.
All right.
All right.
All right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you checking in. And I'm not trying to offend any Kerry supporter. I will vote for Kerry. I will vote for Kerry in a heartbeat if he is the nominee. I will take as many people as I can get into my pickup truck to go vote for Kerry without even thinking about it. But you know my position, and you can accept it or reject it. There is one real Democrat in this race, and it's Kucinich. That's all there is to it. Would I vote for Howard Dean in a New York minute? I'd vote for Dean before I'd vote for Kerry. I'd vote for Kerry before I'd vote for Edwards. But I will vote for Edwards if he's the nominee. You understand what I'm saying? But the question was a good one. What happens when we get another Democratic leadership DLC guy in the White House? Then, in my opinion, you start to pressure from the bottom. And I don't necessarily mean pressure. I mean support. Pressure is a kind of support. You know, allow JFK II to be a Democrat. Allow him to be the Democrat by covering his right flank to keep these howling dogs of the Republican Party off of his ass. And that requires putting liberal Democrats into office. In other words, two Democrats, not a Zell Miller Democrat, not a, not even an Al Gore Democrat. I'm sorry, unless Al Gore has had some conversion on his personal road to Damascus. He sounds like it sometimes. He really does. Lately, Al Gore sounds like a real Democrat, or maybe he's just itching for a fight. I think Al Gore knows what happened to him. I think he does. So a lot of Al Gore's rhetoric right now, which I love, could be simply because he knows how badly they stuck it in him and broke it off. And by them, I mean the Republicans, the media, the Supreme Court, and to a lesser extent, the American public, that he served for 8 years as a damn good vice president. Unless you're looking for political purity. See, we keep coming back to that, don't we? Get a Democrat in office out of the current crop that's running, and then apply the support and the pressure from the House and the Senate by simply saying, look, you know, have those little private meetings that Bush is so fond of. Have Kerry and the Democratic leadership in the House and the Senate. Have them have midnight meetings where the plan is laid out. Look, we're really going to go for single-payer health care. Look, we're really going to do away with the death penalty. Look, we are really going to disengage from NAFTA and start building individual trade. In other words, take Dennis Kucinich's entire platform, okay? And sit down at night with Kerry and the Democrats in the House and the Senate and work out the agenda, the legislative agenda that Kerry can then propose, and he will be protected on his right flank from real Democrats in the House and the Senate. Does that make any sense? It does to me.
For the reckless ones whose bad trip left them cold, I wear the black and mourning for the lives that could have been. Each week we lose 100 fine young men. But till we start to make a move to make a few things right, you'll never see me wear a suit of white. Oh, I'd love to wear a rainbow every day and tell the world that everything's okay. But I'll try to carry off a little darkness on my back till things are brighter. I'm the man in black.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
my name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
Show. NBC Wall Street Journal poll. Bush is in the worst political trouble of his presidency, according to this new poll. Yeah, they have their work cut out for them. What's it going to be? Is it going to be a phony assassination attempt on Bush like they staged with Reagan? Is it going to be another attack on U.S. soil where another 3,000 Americans and foreigners are going to be killed? Is it going to be another attack on another country? What are they going to do since they can't govern? Huh? So look for another war. The guy is toast, and you know it as well as I do, Truth Seekers, and maybe, just maybe, some Americans are coming out of the ether. But don't count on it, because they'll go right back into the ether as soon as these thugs engineer an act of violence against this country, or another war, or something about Bush. Oh, Bush broke his leg today. He was running and he stumbled. Oh, sympathy, sympathy. You know what I'm talking about.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have 2 chinchillas and I have a big Briar.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All the need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
I think American people, now that they've realized I'm going to seek re-election, expect me to seek re-election.
Oh, my God. Oh, he's just so stupid. Susan is calling, one of our over-the-road truckers who listens on Sirius, driving in Missouri. Hey, Susan.
Hi, Mike. I tell you, I'm going to miss you if you're gone 9 more days.
Well, we'll wind up someplace, I hope, Susan.
Well, I hope they get you on Sirius, because I love to listen to you.
Well, thank you.
My biggest gripe about this little weasel in the White House right now.
Yeah?
Is this is a man who's supposed to be such a moral Christian of wonderful character.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he has continued to lie about so much, especially going clear back to when he was in college. He did not want to have to worry about going to NOM, so he gets daddy to pull some strings. I mean, this is a man that tested in the 25th percentile.
Right.
He gets into
flight school.
Officers, yeah, flight school and the officers training. Never was in ROTC. Then he can't even do a full 4 years. We have to duck it as soon as a piss test comes up as part of an exam now, because, well, we know somebody can't pass that baby.
You're right.
He'd have to do 30 days without any of his drugs. God forbid. But what really pisses me off is he doesn't even complete his military service, whether you call it AOL
right.
or AWOL or what you want to call it. He did not do it. We all know that.
Right.
His pay records show it, everything. But he has the balls 30 years down the road to send my nephew to risk his life in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
Send that little weasel over there. Put him on the front line.
Right.
He should have been the one over there earlier in 2003, or send one of his little darling daughters over there.
No, never happened. They've got to be out drinking and boozing.
Oh, yeah, and now, for the last 3.5 years, what have we heard? Don't want my daughters in adult. We have got to have them have their privacy, leave them in the background. And now I hear they're trotting, what, he's going to trot them out part of his reelection campaign.
Sure he is.
Please, will somebody send him a bill for that little stunt at the Daytona 500. That was not a presidential appearance. That was a reelection appearance. Are they going to give every Democrat the same amount of time at a big thing like that? 140,000 people there in person and supposedly 75 million people watching it on TV.
No, you and I are going to pay for that, Susan. You and I and the rest of America are going to pay for Bush's stunt. That was just another variation of landing on the deck of the aircraft carrier.
Did you see the picture in the paper of him standing there in his little NASCAR jacket
right next
to the National Guard car?
Right, right.
Oh, I wanted to puke. I'm sitting there going, this man, he spends 2 hours at the Daytona 500 NASCAR race and 55 minutes at an economic meeting in Tampa.
Right, and he can't even spell the word economic to begin with.
Oh, God, no. Oh, did you? And I loved the fact that Fidel Castro, he had that book of the Bushisms.
Right.
And he is sitting there reading, saying that any ninth grader in Cuba could out speak in English.
Well, any ninth grader in the United States could, too.
Oh, my God, yes. I mean, the man is as dumb as a rock. And if anyone believes he's actually the man running this country, they're all stupid.
I know. I hear
I mean, it just amazes me how any Republican buys into this. And I'm so embarrassed that my own state, a supposedly Democratic state, I'm from West Virginia, actually
voted for him. Yeah.
Voted for him. I'm like, how could anyone do that? Of course, we're stupid in West Virginia. We voted in two Republicans twice, and both of them, the first time they were in office, were like convicted of money malfeasance.
Well, I don't think West Virginia is going to go for Bush this time.
Well, if they do, they're all stupid because we got sold down. Every truck driver that voted for Bush the first time, we've all been sold down the road on that. All these independent owner-operators, they were told that Bush said, oh, I'll stop the new engines from going in and the new EPA regulations from going in. We're the only people that they didn't stop.
That's another lie I wish I would have had time to bring up on the Fox show. Susan, thank you so much for checking in. Drive safe, okay?
Mike, and you have a good one, and I hope to God I can hear you somewhere down the road.
Thank you, ma'am.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, you take care.
We thought you were already fine, and you don't have to take it from him anymore. You don't have to take it from him. You don't have to take it from him anymore. He's not your type. You can readjust yourself to him.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Weather-related disasters are a growing drain on the global economy. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Last year, floods, windstorms, heat waves, and other natural disasters caused $60 billion worth of damage around the world. Researchers who study weather-related disasters say the price tag has risen sharply in recent decades, and the trend is likely to continue. Thomas Loster works for the Munich Reinsurance Company in Germany, and he heads a UN commission that studies the costs of climate change and related disasters. Loster says the most expensive weather-related damage last year occurred in Europe, where a severe heat wave wilted crops and killed more than 20,000 people. In addition, China suffered heavy flooding, and the United States was hit hard by tornadoes in the Midwest. Loster says 2003 was one of the worst years in history in terms of weather-related damage. He says that rising expense is part of a long-term trend.
If we look at weather-related losses on the long run, comparing decades, we find tremendous increases in losses.
Loster says the economic costs of natural disasters were six times greater in the 1990s than they were in the 1960s. Loster says one reason for the increase in damage has to do with the weather itself. He says some extreme weather events, like the so-called 100-year floods and storms, are growing more frequent.
every person can read that there is a 100 years event around the corner, and this tells us that they are no longer 100 years event, but the period has shortened.
Loster says the main reason for the increase in weather-related damage has to do with people. More and more people now live in disaster-prone places, and that means there's more high-value property that's now at risk. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
We have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector.
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Ready for a liberal helping of the truth? Here's Mike.
27 before the hour. Got an email here from Christina. She writes, "Hi, Mike. I'm a new listener. I'm actually an Australian citizen who is still in my home country." Hey, well, good day, or whatever you say there. "I'm a lesbian in a committed monogamous relationship with an American citizen. We are currently living apart because of the discriminating immigration laws the United States has." Yeah, that's right. I guess if you are, what is it, Kathy? If your sexual orientation is not heterosexual, they can ban. Jesus, what a place. Anyway, Christina writes, "Unfortunately, I'm not able to actually call your show at this time because I can't afford the cost, hence my emailing you directly. My question is, how do you feel about the federal marriage amendment? I'm not asking you about your feeling on gays and lesbians in general, just more about how you feel about the introduction of a constitutional amendment that will deem a group of American citizens as second class. Thank you, Mike, and thank you for a wonderful show. I hope you get picked up by someone else soon so we have your brilliance back." Ooh, brilliance. Thank you, Dina. I've made my position very clear about my feelings about so-called gay and lesbian issues. There are no such that doesn't exist. There are no gay and or lesbian issues. There are human issues. And that's just how I look at it. I've never been able to understand the visceral hatred that Republicans have for homosexuals, whether they're men or women. Now, heterosexual men love homosexual women if they can see them together in a porn video. Then it's okay. But if heterosexual men think that there's a couple of gay men nearby, they will do everything except some of them. I'm heterosexual, I don't. But a lot of these heterosexuals will break out in a cold sweat. Or try to kill the homosexual. Now, as long as it's a couple of lesbian women, oh, that's good. Oh, man. Oh, look at the damn. Can I get it? Can I get in there too? You know, it's that kind of thing. So it's really, it is perverse. The feelings of negativity about other members of the human family is perverse. Now, having said that, and I've made that very clear in the 16, 17 years I've been in radio. Having said that, Tina, the federal marriage amendment that these Republican freaks are talking about in this country is very scary. It's very scary. This will be the first time in our history, with the exception of the Three-Fifths Agreement that deemed, back in the 1700s, that deemed Americans, well, they weren't Americans back then. Africans. We hadn't declared, had we declared independence yet? I don't think we had confederated as a republic. But where Africans were considered to be, the slaves were considered to be 3/5 of a human being. since that time, Tina, most of what this country has been about is trying slowly. Sometimes it takes centuries to remove discrimination. It took 400 years to finally remove all legal discrimination against people because of their racial background, which is a smear on America that can never be erased. It may be redeemed at some point in the future, but it can never be erased. It's part of our history. As far as I know, through the 18th, 19th, and 20th centuries, over almost a 300-year span, 250-year span, 200-year span, we tried to eliminate discrimination against people because of their gender. You know, women in this country, Tina, were not allowed to vote until 1920. Couldn't even vote. We've got a vile history here. The federal marriage amendment, if it passes, I think it would be a clear indication that you don't want to come to this country. Have your heterosexual or your homosexual American girlfriend move there. Get the hell out of here. Well, don't even come here. Don't even bother coming here. Because if that amendment passes, and it would take years, but if it does pass, it will mean that this country has finally gone off the deep end, that we are now officially the United Fascist States of America. Only it will be worse than that, because legalizing that sort of thing, discrimination, gives license to the crazies in this country to commit horrible acts. Whether it's the lynching of Americans of African descent because they did not have the right to vote or eat at the same lunch counter or marry outside the race. We had the so-called Jim Crow laws here that gave a kind of a tacit wink, wink, nod, nod. You want to lynch a nigger? Go ahead. Lynch him. It's okay. You want to beat the hell out of a woman? Go ahead. It's okay. They're second-class citizens. She's not going to say anything. The black guy's not going to say anything. Nobody's going to believe him to begin with. And that's just the way it is. Now, with gay folk, you can find example after example of gay people being murdered in this country, being tortured and brutally murdered simply because they happen to be gay. And that's without a federal marriage amendment. Federal marriage amendment, my ass. This is an attempt to demonize I would like every log cabin Republican, every gay Republican, you hypocritical bastards, most of you who are closeted, some of you who are out, how dare you support the Republican Party? Damn you. The essential issue for you, you log cabin Republicans, is not your wallet. The essential issue for you is how this filthy Republican Party interprets your humanity. Don't you understand what they do to you? You are not even worth marrying. You're not worth having the same rights. And you people still vote for Republicans? Damn you. Well, there's no point in my damning you. You suffer for it every day, and you'll continue to suffer, just like working-class Americans who continue to vote for the Republican Party are going to suffer. But I'm getting off the topic. Tina, the federal marriage amendment in this country, if it becomes law, forget about coming here. Don't bother. Don't come. Why would you willingly walk into hell? Well, you wouldn't. I don't know what the tipping point is for me to leave this country. I don't want to leave this country. I have family here. My roots are here. Jesus. But a federal marriage amendment, hypocritical, snotty-sounding thing as that, that might be the tipping point. I don't know what the tipping point is for me. I have no idea. I have no idea. So, Tina, I hope that answers it for you. I hope. Daryl is calling, our Detroit bureau chief. Hey, Daryl.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Doing fine, sir.
Mike, you said something after our last call, and he called you up about.
Okay.
You said kind of felt like after a while of a few months of us talking that we all felt like family.
Right.
And I would like to endorse that.
Oh, well, thank you.
Okay. Very much so. I have spent a number of times passing on the link to your, you know, we don't get your program here other than over the Internet, but
right.
There are a lot of people in the area now who know about you because we've spread the word. And I'm sure that they will follow the news as you leave the breadcrumbs to the.
just call me Hansel and Kathy's Gretel,
okay.
And we'll leave a trail of breadcrumbs, so we can find our way, you know, back into the light. Yeah,
yep.
I appreciate it, Daryl. I really do. I know, folks do try to get the word out about this program, and I hope we land someplace. I hope somebody, some syndicating agency or station or network understands that we could provide for them, forget their civic responsibility, we could provide for them a pretty good profit center. So I hope that happens, Gerald. I really do. I'd love to be on a station in Detroit. Man, my mama in Toledo could hear me then.
Oh, my goodness. Jeez.
My 89-year-old mother in Toledo would be able to hear if we were on a Detroit radio station.
Wow,
right?
great. You know, I had to call her earlier, did mention Castro's cracking on Bush. And that, I mean, that's embarrassing. You know, when another foreign leader,
right.
It's downright embarrassing. I mean,
look how many of them have done it. The former, I don't know, finance minister of Canada, the prime minister of Germany, the French prime, so many foreign heads of state. The Saudi, who's that guy? The Saudi foreign minister who spent time at the ranch. He said he was astonished at how little Bush understood about the Middle East. This is before 9/11. This is when Bush was. Placed into the presidency by the Supreme Court, but so many people, heads of state or ministers in foreign governments have come out against this doofus because he is a doofus.
Yeah, and the sheer embarrassment. I'm speechless. Really,
I know.
It just becomes ridiculous to have supposedly the greatest nation in the world. Supposedly a education president. I can be an education president when you are, you know, when you command of the language.
Right.
Well, command of the language, I guess that for him that's an oxymoron. Your application of the language. The thing, last point I wanted to remark about today is a recent visit that he had to this factory. And this part, you know, he goes from making me embarrassed to feeling like I've been violated because of some of his things are so obscene.
Right.
He spoke at a window factory.
Uh-huh.
Right? He goes walking into this window factory, and he's supposedly meeting with a small business owner and an employee,
mm-hmm.
one employee. I guess they couldn't find any more than one employee. He was
right.
Going to stand there and not, do something rude. The press has finally, I see in a New York Times article, the press finally covers the whole story. They reported the fact that Bush's tour of this factory floor was highly staged.
Mm-hmm.
He says as he entered, a half dozen workers were steadily polishing windows as if Bush had walked into an ordinary shift on President's Day. Hello!
Right.
Working on this day. Now, news cameras snapped away, and he picked up a caulking gun and hugged workers. And
they're just pigs, Daryl. They're just pigs, these Republicans.
And then 5 minutes after, the news says right here, 5 minutes after his entourage leaves, the factory floor was deserted, and there was no sign later in the day that production had resumed.
Just like the boxes that said "Made in America," they were really made in China.
Exactly.
Yeah, I hate these people.
Exactly.
God, I hate these people.
Exactly. I mean, is this... Do you call this lying?
Yes.
I call it lying.
Yeah. It's also the other thing I hate. I hate liars and I hate sneaks. George Bush and his whole crew are the biggest gang of sneaks and liars that I've ever come across. I'm talking about from when I was in the fourth grade on the playground to when I was a young adult any crime I've ever been involved in to being a talk show host to working at CNN. This is the most vile group of sneaks I have ever seen. Liars and sneaks, the Bush crime family. Oh, well.
Well, they're definitely getting to the point where I fear for the future of the country.
Well, they're going to be turned out of office. I can promise you that. Daryl,
well,
thanks.
Well, as long as we can keep them from actually making something go boom. You know?
I hear that. Daryl, thanks for checking in, pal.
All right.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. Dan is calling from San Francisco. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Woo Doggy, these Daytona 500 fans, that's like the perfect thing. Where could I go to find a bunch of white people hanging out drinking beer? Oh, yeah, Daytona 500. And in the South, way to go, George Bush. Man, I can't stand Daytona 500 now. I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate Dale Earnhardt Jr. I can't stand him.
Well, a lot of those guys, I heard some... I don't know, something on CNN or someplace prior to the race. A lot of those guys were driving for Jesus, you know?
And I just picture these people, like quadruple people from King of the Hill. You know, Bobby and those fat, you know, beer-drinking guys. I just can't. And people here are going crazy over the gay marriage issue.
Yeah, just...
And it's like a barbecue out in City Hall.
Hundreds of people, I understand, are getting married.
Yeah, some people have driven from, like, Chicago, from all over the states.
Right, right.
Just to see this, and they're just hanging out, and it's no big deal. And, you know, that there's some Christians out there that believe it. Have you ever heard of the rapture?
Oh, sure.
I mean, I heard of that. So
I ever heard of the rapture? Man, I was raised Southern Baptist.
Oh, okay, because my aunt's a Christian, and I go to the church sometimes just to kind of chuckle at what they have to say. And it's a joke.
Yeah, I hear that.
It's pretty funny because my aunt, she believes that if I'm not a Christian and don't accept Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior, then I'm going to hell.
Yeah,
I say, see you, Aunt Sue. I'll see you whenever in the afterlife, where, if there is one.
It's a very curious world, isn't it, Dan?
And these Christians, I realize something, they never practice what they preach.
Never.
It's like they slam on things, and then they turn around and they say another thing, like, if, for instance, abortion. They don't care what happens to you after you're born. They want to cut every federal and social program they can possibly can.
Sure.
I hate Pat Robertson. I can't stand him. I hope that you'd go on TV and challenge him or something, because that turtleneck that he wears every day just drives me crazy. I have to wake up every morning, not every morning, but almost every morning when my aunt's here, and she watches him. She didn't agree with a lot of things he says, because she lives in San Francisco, like I said.
Right.
But she just, you know, watches it, and I just can't stand him. And it just makes me sick.
All right, well, Dan, hang in there. This is your first time calling, right?
Yeah.
You know, we only have 9 programs left.
Yeah, I know that. That's a bummer because my friend has downloaded your shows since a few months, and he saved all your shows, and I've been listening to each and every one of them.
Well, thanks, Dan. I appreciate the support. I appreciate you checking in. We got a boogie. Thanks, Dan.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see the Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or the Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
We here at IE America Radio Network make sure that our listeners are informed about many different subjects in many different ways. And this is why we partner with Earthwatch Radio to bring you environmental research and related topics in concise two-minute reports that are scientifically accurate, clearly written, and played at the bottom of every hour here on IE America Radio Network. But did you know that you can get even more great information about the environment and related issues at www.ewradio.org? This website contains an enormous amount of information on a wide range of subjects that concern science and the environment. Earthwatch Radio gives special attention to the global climate change, the Great Lakes, and the oceans, and it's all information that you need to know about. So get informed by going to www.ewradio.org and listen to the Earthwatch Radio two-minute program at the bottom of every hour, every day, here on IE America Radio Network. It's our world. Let's learn how to take care of it. If you can't listen to the Earthwatch Radio program on your radio station, you can listen to it on our website's live streaming at www.ieamericaradio.com.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Making the pie higher so that fish and humans can coexist peacefully. It's Mike Malloy.
It is indeed. Five before the hour. We're just about out of time here, so that means it's time to bring on Robin from Victor, West Virginia. Robin.
It's my spot.
Yes, it is. Minute and a half before we sign off.
Okay, well, listen, with all the business about Bush and his military records, I think we're missing the forest for the trees, Mike.
Uh-oh.
There's a winner out there. It's the thing they've admitted. You know, you win on what your opponent admits.
That's right.
So screw the dentist, screw Alabama, whether he could find it with a GPS or not. 25th percentiles and flying outdated aircraft. You know, dude got a hall pass 8 months early.
Didn't he? Yeah. Why don't they ever talk about his 25 percentile score? Now, I don't know if that was just the test that he takes or if that was for flight school. I know when I took my physical, of course, I managed to avoid serving in the military, but when I took my physical, it was very clear to me. Somebody said, man, score as high as you can on the written test because that'll get you to OCS, that'll get you commission, maybe this war will be over by then. And I think I came out in like the 92nd or 93rd percentile. Bush comes up in a 25th percentile.
Yeah, and
then gets to fly an airplane?
Yeah, and gets bumped forward. No, that was the flight test, man.
That was a flight test. Oh,
you know,
Jesus.
That's why they put him in an F-102.
Yeah, they didn't want him to crash something that was worth something.
Yeah, so, he basically raises his hands as teacher. Can I leave early? I got a potty for the next 8 months.
Right. Oh,
you know, maybe Max Cleland would have liked to have gotten an 8-month hall pass.
I think Max Cleland would like to take his remaining good arm and just beat the bejesus out of George Bush. That's
well,
what I
only
think
after
Cleveland
he gets to Ann Coulter, if you've read that piece of trash.
Oh, Ann Coulter, yeah. Going after Max Cleland. You talk about, I don't even want to say pick on somebody your own size.
Well,
but,
not even, I mean, she's a guy.
Well, that's true. That's true. I mean, with an Adam's apple like that, I would love, all the Republicans, all the right-wingers wanted to see Clinton's penis. I would love to see Ann Coulter's penis, frankly.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like Sojourner Truth. They made her prove that she was a woman.
That's right, they
if
did.
If it's good enough for her, it's good
it's
enough
good
for
enough
Ann Coulter.
It's good enough for Ann Coulter. Amen and amen. Robin, thanks for checking in.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, sir. You have a nice evening. It's a hell of a way to end the program, isn't it? Talking about Ann Coulter's penis. Oh, well. Mark Marshall is the webmaster at MikeMalloy.com. He'll have the video up a little bit later tonight or tomorrow. Catherine Bay produces the program here in Atlanta. Robin Bittman is our announcer. Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. And Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. I'm Mike Malloy. I'll see you tomorrow night, I hope. I really, really hope. Take care. Just look.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004. No more lies, no more, no more lies.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried. Doug.
Yeah, yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans,